is Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 16. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As you can see, the theme for this morning is more light. Please, anybody agree that the world seems quite dark? And we are a gospel church that believes that Jesus is the light of the world. Anybody want to give an amen to that? But then, outrageously, Jesus then says to us, "You are the light of the world." And I don't know about you, but that's a responsibility that I think we need to take seriously. But also recognizing that God has given us the Holy Spirit so that his light in and out through us, people might see. Some time back, I heard about a little village in Wiltshire called Cawston. See, when I pass it, as we go back to see friends in Oxfordshire, what is quite remarkable about one of the homes in Cawston is that there is a light in the front room, and that light has been shining now for nearly 100 years. Next year, it'll be the 100th year that that light has shone. The story goes that back at the beginning of the First World War, a son, as many sons from this country, went to fight in that horrendous war. And the mum said to the son, "I'm going to put a light in the front room and I'm going to keep it burning so it'll guide you home when you return." Well, like many, many others, that son never returned, but the mum decided that she was going to keep that light burning anyway. And in time, of course, that mum died. But in the deeds of the sale of that house was a condition that the light had to be put in that front room and had to be kept lit. And my understanding is that to this day, the people who've bought that home honour that covenant. The light that is there to help people find their way home. And that is what Jesus has given us a mandate to do, that we might be people who shine like stars in the universe, to allow people in this dark world to see something of the beauty of Jesus and guide them home. Let's have a look at those verses again. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. As I mentioned earlier, sadly, there's a lot of darkness in the world today, but it doesn't matter how deep the darkness, it cannot live with light. I think I've mentioned to you that many years ago, I was taken underground into a cave, and it was one of the most frightening experiences of my life. I was crawling through this cave on my belly. I was like a snake going through this because it was so narrow. And we came into a chamber, and you could hear some water coming down. There was like a little waterfall underground, and we had our like miner's hats on and lamps. And then the person who was the guy, the man called Paul, he said, "I want you to turn your light out." And so the three of us turned the lights out, and there was darkness like I've never seen darkness before. You could not see the hand in front of your face. And then he said, "Turn your lamp back on." And this cavern became obvious. Just these tiny 3-watt lamps. And yet it lit up a cavern. Some of you may not feel as strong as a 3-watt lamp, but you are declared by Jesus to be the light of the world. As you know, I have many heroes. Some of them rugby, many of them cricket, but many of them men and women of God. And this quote I want to give you now is from one of my heroes. And he says this, a man who saw so much darkness in his land, a man who sat over those harrowing days, but important days of the truth and reconciliation, and meetings that went on for weeks and months. And this is what he said. He said, "This is a moral universe, which means that despite all the evidence that seems to be to the contrary, there is no way that evil and injustice and oppression and lies can have the last word. For we who are Christians, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ are proof positive that love is stronger than hate, that life is stronger than death, that light is stronger than darkness, that laughter, joy, compassion, gentleness and truth, all these are so much stronger than their ghastly counterparts." Anybody want to give an amen to that? As I read his book, I was particularly struck by one particular story of the brutality of the police force who'd killed this woman's husband and tortured him before they killed him. And all of this came out in that Truth and Reconciliation time. And Desmond Tutu said to the woman who'd lost the man that she loved dearly, "Is there anything that you want to say to the man who sat not far from her who admitted that he'd been involved in the killing of him?" And she said, I wonder if he would give me permission to hold him and assure him that I've forgiven him." I don't know about you, but I think there is so much light in the darkness when people are moved to do things like that through the grace of Christ. When people are able to reach out, and people who've torn their life apart, and because of the love of Jesus, they're able to do things like that. What you and I do day by day, as small, as insignificant as they might seem, make such a difference. But look at this quote up here. It's one that you'll be familiar with. "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. And good women, of course. And so there is a responsibility for each of us in this dark world to shine as brightly as we possibly can. Jesus says that we are the light of the world. And light has many qualities, of course. We know that without light, we would not be able to live. But the most obvious is it dispels darkness. And one of my favorite stories is of a young Robert Louis Stevenson. And he was in his home in Edinburgh, just a little boy. And it was back in the day when there were gas lamps. And there was a man coming and he was lighting these gas lamps. And he calls to his family and he said, "Look, look, look, there's a man out there punching holes in the darkness." I thought, what a beautiful image that is. There is a man out there punching holes in the darkness. And the question I've got down here for myself and also for you is, in what ways is God asking us to punch holes in the darkness in the world that you live? In the home that you live, on the street where you live, in the place that you work. Jesus is very specific in the verses immediately preceding these ones where he refers to us as the light of the world. And we know them as the Beatitudes, or as somebody's once called them, the beautiful attitudes. And Malcolm Muggeridge says this about the Beatitudes. "Beatitudes, just by virtue of having been spoken by him, have enriched our mortal existence beyond imagining, putting a yeast of love into the unlively dough of human greed and human spite and human willfulness, so that it can rise marvelously." Jesus exhorts us to be the light of the world. And how are we to do that? Well, we see it in the Beatitudes. Through our humility, through our meekness, which is strength under control, through the mercy that we show to one another, by being peacemakers. How the world needs people like you and me, who call ourselves Christians, to shine like this. You are the light of the world. I love this quote. Have a look at this one. It's from a lady called Marianne Williamson. She says, "As we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others." I'm going to finish in a moment, and I'm going to finish with a song I remember my grandma singing to me when I was a little boy. I didn't know Jesus then, but I saw something of the beauty of Jesus in my grandma. And I'm not going to sing it to you because you'll all rush out very, very quickly with your hands over your ears. But as I read this, you might find yourself starting to hum it. Jesus bids us shine with a pure, clear light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, so let us shine, you in your small corner. And Jesus bids us shine, first of all, for him. Well, he sees and knows it. If our light grows dim, he looks down from heaven to see us shine. You in your small corner. And Jesus bids us shine then for all around. Many kinds of darkness in the world are found, sin and want and sorrow. So we must shine, you in your small corner and I in mine. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, it is quite staggering that you refer to us as the light of the world. But those were your words. And in this world where we see so much darkness, so much hatred, we pray, Heavenly Father, that when people encounter us, they might encounter light, love, hope, peace,
and kindness.
Oh Lord, whatever our context, whatever our situation, we pray as we leave this place today that we might be carriers of your light, bringing hope, bringing a chance of a new day for everyone we encounter. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's say the grace to one another, shall we? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you and God bless you.